Buffalo has always, in my opinion, been a theater town. When I was growing up there, there was always a play to see, not just at the old Erlanger Theater, but out at State Teachers College or in some school or wherever, the Studio Theater before it became the Studio Arena. So I'm delighted to see that there's still a tremendous amount of theatrical activity going on. I'm amazed by it in one sense, because it does seem particularly active and exciting and varied. I do know that this is beginning to happen in other cities. I mean, in Philadelphia, there's the same kind of sprouting of a number of different kinds of theatrical enterprises. And I think it's particularly exciting for Buffalo because there's something about the location of the city, the composition of its population, and some of the traditions of the city that make it so good. I mean, there are so many interesting spaces in Buffalo in which plays can be put on. So I'm all for it and proud to be a small part of it.
You mentioned being a young man in Buffalo and going to the theater. Is that what inspired you in the early beginnings to become a playwright?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had a grandmother who lived down on Summer Street, and she subscribed to the Erlanger Theater, because you could do that in those days. You could subscribe, and then you could see what was coming in, whether it was a Catherine Cornell vehicle or Gilbert and Sullivan, or some new musical, or many times some Broadway show that was beginning its tour. So I was lucky. I was the only one in my family that really loved to go to the theater. So my grandmother would take me, and I had another grandmother that didn't like to go to the theater, but she bought tickets because she felt she should. And so she'd give me her tickets when I got a little older. I saw a lot of plays at what was then the Studio Theater on Lafayette Street, became the Studio Arena Theater when they moved to Main Street and became more professional. But this was what was called then a community theater, and they put on very interesting things. Several plays by O'Neill, for example, which I was young enough, so I'd never really heard of O'Neill, and I saw these terrific plays going on there. And then, of course, in the schools. I went to Nichols School, and before that to Franklin School, it was called, down on Franklin Street. And every class was always putting on a play, and, of course, we all went to them, or else we'd be in them.
What is perhaps one of your most favorite works that you look back on?
My my own, or
yes?
I don't know. It's like asking someone who's your favorite child. I mean, it depends on the location. Some plays have been more financially successful than others. Some plays have totally failed. And some plays have spoken to more special audiences than others. So it's really hard to know. I've written, counting the shorter ones, around 50 plays. I hate to count because it depends what you mean by an evening in the theater. Some of them are short plays, coupled with others in the theater. But so I have a large family of plays, and I'm looking back on them now with great pleasure and at the different turns they've taken over the years.
One very successful one, The Dining Room. Tell us what inspired you to write that.
Well, I grew up on Lincoln Parkway, and our family, and most families, sort of middle class families that I was involved, had the evening meal was a very important part of the family life. How we all got together around the dining room table, and of course we'd have breakfast there at the table too. Lunch normally no. I became very used to seeing a family talking about itself and being part of a family that aired problems around the dining room table. When I began later on in life, or in the 60s and 70s, I began to teach at MIT. And that when Jimmy Carter was president, we had a major energy crisis, and we were living then in a big house in Newton. So we cut off the dining room, or we changed the dining room. I won't say that. We changed our dining room into a living room and cut off our regular living room and ate in the kitchen just to save on heating bills. And so we sold the dining room, our dining room table, my own, not my parents', but my own dining room table, my wife's. We sold it and sold the chairs. And I suddenly realized what we had lost. It made me think of what a dining room was all about. And so that, I suppose that was the trigger to writing that play.
And two that I see have also included Buffalo in the title, of course, Buffalo Gal. And then you wrote a musical while at Yale, Love in Buffalo.
That's right.
So
I love writing about Buffalo. It's such an interesting city. In first place, it's a very beautiful city. It's got wonderful variety in it. Many changes have happened during the course of my life. Even though I haven't been there, I've come back to Buffalo and seen the changes. And so it's always been a kind of territory I like to roam around in as a writer.
Are you still working and writing to this day? I know you have a birthday coming up on November 1st.
Yeah.
And will you be 83?
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Are you still writing and working?
Yeah, when you get to be my age, people, the word still comes up a lot. Are you still writing? Are you still walking? Are you still alive? Yes, still so far.
What are you currently working on?
Well, I've got a play that's opening at the Flea Theater, which is a small theater off Broadway that I've worked at a lot. And it's a play which is set not in Buffalo, but on the Canadian lakeshore, right across the river from Buffalo.
What is the premise of that?
Well, I won't tell you that.
Oh, okay. Just even a sneak peek?
No. It all takes place. It all takes place during the summer in a summer cottage, if you want to call it that. And it takes place over the period of a summer. It starts in sort of late May and ends in early September.
Your best memory of Buffalo?
My best memory? Oh, I have too many good memories of Buffalo. I think the beauty of the city, when it had its elms, the beauty of driving down Delaware Avenue or down many of the sides, Summer Street, Bryant Street, Hodge Avenue, just the beauty of these wonderful old houses and these wonderful arching trees shading them, and it was something I'll always remember. Now, I think Buffalo's been pretty good about repopulating its tree population. They're not the American elms there, but they've got some trees that have come into their own there, and I think the avenues in Buffalo are beginning to look good again.
Lear Gurney, we look forward to your visit on Friday for Curtain Up as our special guest in Buffalo. Thank you so much for talking to us about your career.
Well, thank you for calling.